We'll be in the book of Philippians in chapter number 4. And we'll begin in verse number 10. I have a simple message this morning. Before we read, let me quote to you a verse of Scripture from this chapter. And I'm sure that all of you will be familiar with it. It goes like this: "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." How many know that verse? How many have heard that verse? "But my God shall supply all your need." I want you to know today, many people are familiar with that verse. That verse is very well known. It's very frequently quoted, but most people have no idea what this verse is really talking about. Let me say this very quickly. This is not a universal scripture to be applied universally to all people in all times, in all circumstances. You can't take a verse of scripture like, "My God shall supply all your need," and you can't just tell anybody that and say that's God's word and that means that no matter what, God's going to supply whatever your need is. That's not true. I want us to look today. This verse of scripture is in our text, and I want to show you that this verse is directly related to or linked to the subject of giving to missions. Would you be surprised to know that? It's about giving to missions. In these verses, Paul is speaking to a church that had been supplying his needs according to their riches, and he promises them that in return, God would supply their needs according to his riches. And God's spoon is much bigger than our spoon. God's wallet is much bigger than our wallet. These verses are about giving to missions. And that's what I want to preach on this morning: giving to missions. Look in verse number 10 of Philippians chapter number 4. And I'll ask you to remain seated. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Read this with me. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, for this service, for all the singing. May it be done for your glory. I pray that for a few minutes you would gather up our attention, and Lord, that you would impress upon our hearts the importance of missions and giving to missions. This is a responsibility that you've put upon your church. Help us to fulfill it. In Jesus' name, amen. In the year of 1793, a man and his pregnant wife and his three sons boarded a boat in Britain, and they set sail for India. They were going to be missionaries there. The name of that man that boarded that boat in 1793 was William Carey. And William Carey has come to be known as the father of modern missions. Over a year before then, in 1792, William Carey had published a treatise on the subject of Christian missions, and its binding responsibility on the church. Believe it or not, back in those days in the 1700s, by and large, foreign missions and cross-cultural missions was not a thing. Most churches did not believe in sending missionaries to other lands or in supporting missionaries to go to other lands. There was a common belief that the Great Commission had already been fulfilled in the apostolic age, and that now people were pretty much just to raise their families, go to church, and the church would permeate the culture. But they didn't believe in sending out missionaries. William Carey believed the opposite of this. He looked into the scriptures and he saw that the Great Commission still applied to the church today. There were still many nations that had never heard the gospel, and they would not hear the gospel unless the church took its mission seriously and sent out missionaries to the corners of the earth. So William, in 1792, started publishing sermons about this. Later that year, he formed the Baptist Missionary Society, and then a year later, he set sail with his family for India, and he worked there without furlough until the day of his death in 1834. Many people know about William Carey. But this morning, I want to tell you about William Carey's friend by the name of Andrew Fuller. A lot of people know William Carey. Not a lot of people know about his friend, Andrew. Andrew was the president of the Baptist Missionary Society. He formed it with William Carey. Andrew did not go to India with him, but he stayed in the British Isles, and he raised support, and he preached on missions until the day that he died in 1814. William Carey, before he left for India, famously said these words to Andrew. He said, "I will go down into the pit if you will hold the ropes." How many have heard that? That's exactly what Andrew Fuller did. From the rest of his life, Andrew would preach all around the British Isles and would show the necessity of giving to missions, and he held the rope until the last day of his life for his missionary friend. Today, I want you to know that we're not in the 1790s anymore. We're in the early 2000s, and the missionary commission still applies to the church today. It is still a binding responsibility. Churches are to be raising up and sending out missionaries and to be consistently supporting them and their necessities. This is still something that we are to be doing. We are to be sharing in their ministry, giving to their necessities, supporting their work, and holding the ropes. Somebody has got to hold the ropes. Amen? I believe that supporting missions is still a binding responsibility upon our churches. It is placed upon us in Scripture, and it is a sacred business that we are to be about. We're to be busy in the business of giving to missions. Let me read to you an excerpt from our church covenant. If you're a member of our church, you are a part of our church covenant. It says in the second paragraph that we engage, therefore, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and here's the last one, the spread of the gospel through all nations. That is our church covenant at Emory Heights Missionary Baptist Church. I believe we ought to be regularly and cheerfully involved in the giving of missions every week. I want you to know that giving to missions is not only our sacred responsibility, but it is a wonderful blessing to anybody that will give to missions. I'm preaching on this because I've been preaching about missions for a few weeks. We preached on missions as the great commission of the church. We've seen that missions is the very heart of God eternally. God has it in his heart and in his word to evangelize all the nations. We looked last week at personal missions. We are to be witnessing to each other and to this world around us. And now today we see that we need to be giving financially to support foreign missions. I'm glad for the missionaries we already support. We support around 21, 22 different missionaries. We have missionaries in America. We have missionaries to Canada. We have missionaries to the Honduras. We have missionaries in the UK. We have missionaries in Cambodia. We have missionaries to the Philippines and Southeast Asia. We have missionaries in Vietnam. We have several missionaries all over the world. But there are still so many missionaries that need some churches to come alongside them and hold the ropes for them. Wouldn't it be amazing if we allowed God to do with our wallets what He would do with our wallets, and do with our church what He would do with our church? And wouldn't it be amazing to see how much more we could do in the cause of Christ in the giving to missions? Wouldn't it be amazing? Well, I want to put this challenge out here, and before we get in these verses, if you do not regularly have a commitment to give, not to the church, but to our missions account for missionaries, I want to challenge you today to do that. To pray and see what God would have you to commit to the Lord faithfully, yearly, monthly, to give toward missions. You know, if 50 people in our church gave $10 a week to missions, that'd be over $25,000 a year to missions. If 100 people in our church gave $10 a week to missions, that would be $52,000 a year toward missions. That's one trip to Taco Bell a week. Well, maybe not with the kids, but at least with the wife. Everybody okay? What I'm asking is for you to give up one Taco Bell a week and hold the ropes for a missionary, and maybe a lot more that God would allow you to do. I want us to see that it's not only a responsibility, but it is a blessing. And in these verses that we've just read, we see that it's a responsibility, and we see that it is a blessing. Allow me to read it through with you again. I'll explain it so you can see that, and then we're going to draw five implications from these verses about giving to missions. Look in verse 10. Paul is closing his letter to the Philippians, and at this point in his life, he's on his third missionary journey, or his third journey anyway, and he's been arrested. He is in the bonds of Rome. He's in Rome, and he is in a jail cell. He's waiting to see what Caesar will do with him. He said in verse 10, closing out his letter, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." What's he mean by that? What he's about to tell him is, "I'm thankful for the offering that you sent me." That's what he's saying. "Your care of me has flourished again." That word care, it means to care. It means to be concerned about, to regard somebody. The Philippians had a great love and a care and concern for Paul and his ministry. And he says that their care had flourished again. Just as a tree with life flourishes into fruit, their care and concern had blossomed into the fruit of actually taking up an offering for him and sending it. Now look at later in verse 10. "It hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." That's not the word careful that you and I think of, be careful. It's the same word as earlier in the verse when he says care. He said, in other words, you were concerned about me, but ye lacked opportunity. Apparently, they had been supporting him, but for a time they stopped supporting him, and now they were sending him support again. It's not because they didn't stop caring about him, but they lacked the opportunity or they lacked the ability. But as soon as they had the ability, their care flourished into giving. Now look in verse 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." He doesn't want them to feel bad. He doesn't want them to be pressured into giving him more. He's not asking for that. He says, "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord when I got your offering." And they're going to think, man, he must be really doing bad. And he wants to put a caveat in there in verse 11 and say, "Not that I speak in respect of want." I'm not complaining about how bad it's been. I'm not talking to you about how bad it's been, and if you didn't give me this offering, I would have died tomorrow of starvation, although he might have. But what he's saying in verse 11 is, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Don't get me wrong, y'all. I was content with the burdens God had placed upon me as a missionary in the bonds of Rome. But it sure was good that you sent that. Don't get me wrong, I'm not discontent, but I am grateful. Look in verse 12. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That is a verse to charge a missionary with. Anybody that will do any endeavor for God must learn how to do without and how to properly do with some things, how to be content and how to be wise in how they live for God. And what he says in verse 13 is, I can do that by the power of Christ. Notice in verse 13, Paul's not talking about football. Paul wasn't a football player with Philippians 4:13 tattooed on his arm. I can throw the ball through Christ which strengtheneth me. Once again, that is not a verse that is universal, meant to be applied universally. God does not empower you to jump off a building and fly. You can't do all things through Christ in that way, but what he's saying is, I can be content in the ministry through Christ. Now, that is a greater miracle than jumping off a building and flying, is learning to be truly content. But look in verse 14. He doesn't want to downplay their gift now by talking about how content he is. He wants them to know that he is grateful. Verse 14, notwithstanding, although I am content, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. The word communicate there, in the Greek, that word for the word for communicate is, it's the same for giving as fellowship. We have two different words, for giving and partaking fellowship, but it was kind of one and the same. When they were giving for his needs and his affliction, they were communicating with him. They were fellowshipping, partaking of his affliction with him. They were his yoke fellows. They were helping relieve him in their giving. Now, verse 15. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, or when I started preaching the gospel where you were, he said, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Notice, they are consistently supporting this man through his ministry. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I'm not just taking the money you give me and blowing it at Walmart. I'm using it for the ministry's sake. This is helping me to live, to provide for myself, that I can carry on a work that God's called me to do, and that's going to produce fruit that's going to be in your account because you gave to it. Verse 18, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Your offering has taken care of me. It's going to get me through this year. It's going to get me through this winter. He said that what you sent was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What they gave was a well-pleasing sacrifice, not only to Paul, but to God. Now notice verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul wasn't the only needy one. They were needy too. They were not a rich church by any means. They weren't Americans, right? They were Philippians. They were persecuted Christians in this area. They were giving out of their poverty. They needed their money as much as he needed the money. But they sacrificially gave to him. God supplied his needs through them. And now Paul says, I don't got nothing to give back to you. I'm poor as dirt, but I'm going to go to the clerk of heaven, and he is going to put it on his account, and he'll make sure that he counterbalances this, and he'll supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Aren't you grateful for the God we serve? I want you to notice five things that we can see in this text about giving to missions. Number one, missions giving must be birthed out of care. Look in verse 10. He said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Missions giving must be rooted in a real, sincere care and concern for our missionaries that we're giving to, and the work that they're doing, the souls that they're winning, and the God that they're serving. There must be a real care that then gives way to the giving. Maybe you already give to missions, but may I ask you a question? Do you give rooted in a real, genuine care for your missionaries, for our missionaries? Or maybe you don't give and it's because you don't care. May I suggest that we start caring today? Because God cares. There's a difference. Listen, no church ought to ever donate anything. We don't donate. We communicate, as the Bible word is. You see, you can donate something without even thinking. You can pull a $1 bill, a $10, a $20, a $100, depending on how rich you are, and just throw it towards something, and it doesn't hurt you at all. It doesn't bother you. You don't miss the money. You don't really care about really what's going on. You're just giving it to give. That's a donation. That's not what a Christian does. A Christian gives and communicates. Koinonia, we give and partake in one another's needs whenever we give. What we're giving, we're fellowshipping. That's a bond with the people that we're giving it to. If we help the poor, we're becoming more poor to help them be less poor. We're evening it out. We're putting ourselves under their yoke. There ought to be a heart behind our giving. We ought to give, not grudgingly, not of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver. Someone that's happy to give because they care. To care is like the sails on a boat, and opportunity is the wind. When the opportunity comes, the sails of care must be dropped, and then the care flourishes into giving. But a lot of us don't care. So when the wind of opportunity passes by, our boat of giving goes nowhere. We've not helped any missionaries. We've not helped anything for the cause of Christ. May I encourage you this morning to care. And if you don't care, pray to the Lord that He would help you to care and give you a sense of reality about what our missionaries are doing. You say, I don't like missionaries. Some are sketchy. Well, some of us are sketchy, and we're all still here today. Amen? I'm serious. Some pastors are sketchy. That doesn't mean we do away with pastors altogether. Some missionaries may not be faithful like they ought to be. We ought to be very careful before we lay hands upon someone, the Bible says, to examine. We ought to do good. I believe in the missionaries that we have. But that's not an excuse. We need to be giving because we care. Notice number two, missions giving shares in the missionary's load. You've already heard this, me talk about this. But look there, in not only verse 10, but then look in verse number 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. I've already talked about that word communicate. We see it's joining up with him in the ministry. It's not just donating, not just blindly giving, but when we give, we are literally partaking in their ministry. Just as William Carey and Andrew Fuller had that relationship, they were both doing the same thing. They both had the same goal. They both had the same work, but they were on two different sides of the globe. Andrew was doing the holding, and William Carey was holding the rope on the other end going down. But it's the same rope. It's the same work, right? Two men stand on two sides of a saw, and they saw the same tree. They do the same work. They're just doing it on a different side. Think about this. When you go into work, you're not just working to pay the payment on the bass boat. You're not just paying the payment on the house anymore. You're not just saving up for that new thing. But if you have a care and a burden for missions, not just giving to church, but for missions, and you're committed to give, then now your work has more meaning than it ever has. Because you're working vicariously for the missionary. And the missionary is ministering vicariously for you. You can't go to India, so they do it for you. They don't have the opportunity to work and provide for themselves like you do, so you do it for them. You're just holding the rope on one end, and they're holding the rope on the other end. They're doing what we can't, and we're doing what they can't. But we're doing the same work. We're spreading the same gospel. We're partaking in the same ministry. One sows, one waters. He said it's just vicarious. Look in verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Notice he said not only giving, but receiving. Why? What did he have to give them? What did they have to receive from him? Well, they received his missionary letters. They received what he was doing, and that was their payment. That was good enough. If he could write back and say, souls were saved at Thessalonica, souls were saved at Rome, souls were saved at Athens, that was their payment. That was what they received. You see, it's the same work. We're doing the same things. Now, look, number three, not only should missions giving be birthed by care, it should share in the missionary's load, but then missions giving allows us to share in the missionary's reward. Look in verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You see, Paul says, not only is there a crown in heaven laid up for all those that love God and is appearing, the martyr's crown, the soul winner's crown. Paul was working for some crowns, but because they were partaking in his ministry, they partook in his crowns. I'm grateful that what we give to missions, missionaries all over the world, that is adding fruit back into our account with the Lord. That we are sharing in their reward when they stand to give an account in the day, the final day of what they did for the Lord and their ministries. We get to stand beside them. We get to partake in that great reward. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul told the Corinthians that if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. You say, how much should I give? How much would you like to receive from the Lord as a blessing? If we give sparingly, then we're rewarded by God sparingly. If we give bountifully, we're rewarded bountifully. It's like the man that asked the pastor, should I tithe off my gross income or my net income? The pastor said, would you like a gross blessing or a net blessing? You can just say amen right there. Just nod your head, smile, let me know you're still alive. Number four, missions giving is an act of worship to God. It's an act of worship. If it is birthed by true care, then it is an act of worship to God. Look in verse 18. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. That's an allusion to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God prescribed sacrifices. There was sacrifices to be an atonement for sin, but there was also sacrifices that were simply to be brought as a thanksgiving sacrifice to God. They would bring certain incenses, certain materials in the offering, and when they burned them upon the altar of incense, they would fill the temple with a sweet smell. And it represented that God was pleased with their offerings. What he says is, what you gave to me, you gave to God. In Proverbs, the man that lendeth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. What we give in missions is a sacrifice. Listen, it is an act of worship to God. He says it's a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Have you worshiped God with your wallet lately? Have you worshiped God with your checkbook lately? You say, Rev, is you just another TV preacher trying to get all my money? I'm not talking about me or the church. I'm talking about giving to missions. I'm talking about what God's told us to do. And I'm telling you that if you want to worship God and live for Him, this is a part of it. God is well pleased with our offerings as we give to missions. In Hebrews 13, I'll just read this quickly, and we're almost done. In Hebrews 13... in verse number 16, the writer of Hebrews said this, but to do good and to communicate, there's that word again, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. It's pleasing to God. And let me show you lastly in verse number 19. Lastly, the last thing I want to show you about missions is that God gives to missions. God gives to missions. He said in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. They gave to Paul according to their riches. Now he promises that God will give to them according to his riches. Now this is not a prosperity gospel. I'm not asking you like some of these TV preachers would say to sow a seed and reap tenfold, and God's just going to overwhelmingly give you material blessings. That's not what he's saying here. Here's what he's saying. He's saying if you'll promise to be good stewards with what God's given you, he'll give you more to give. Not more to keep, more to give. He said, one man was asked, a farmer, a wealthy farmer, he gave a tremendous amount to a church and missions, and they said, how do you give so much and never run out? He said, all I do is I keep shoveling out and God shovels in, but God has a bigger shovel than me. That's how it works. God gives to missions. We are, if we can show God that we're channels through which God can give to us and will faithfully give it out, then God will give us more and entrust us with more. I could read you many verses. Proverbs 11:25, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Proverbs 19:17, giving to the poor lends to the poor. That he hath given, will he pay him again? In Proverbs 22:9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. You give, God will give. Proverbs 28:27, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. In Luke 6, in verse 38, let me read this to you. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, ye give, withal it shall be measured to you again. God is looking for people that will give, and he'll give to them. Let me leave you with the words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's just that simple. I'm pretty sure we could all find something, including myself, that we could do without in order to give to God's ministry. I'm not preaching pietism. I'm not saying you can't drink coffee because you need to use your money that you spend on Folgers and give that to missions. And you need to sell all your clothes and have one pair. I'm not preaching that, but I am saying we have plenty of room where we could give to God. Don't you agree? And if we give to God, he gives back to us. God's faithful. The more this church is given, the more that God's given. And he'll do it for you. But do you care about missions? Would the musicians come? Brother Ben's going to lead us in a song of invitation. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you a very specific question while no one's looking. You say, Revis, I've realized today the importance of giving to missions. God's impressed this upon my heart. I need to do something about it. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm asking you to pray to the Lord about it right now. These altars are open. Maybe someone would like to come and pray for our church, pray for our missionaries, pray for souls that need to be saved. There's a gospel to spread. There's sinners dying and going to hell. There is much yet to do till the Lord comes back. And we need some people that will hold the rope. We need some people that will go down into the pit of missions. Would somebody come right now? Maybe dedicate some things to the Lord. Would you come? Father, thank you for your word. Bind it upon our hearts. Lord, let us not leave here the same as when we came in. We are now held accountable for what we know. Lord, help us to be good stewards of the mysteries of the gospel. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand with us as we sing? What page?